Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We're your hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes. Man, couldn't be more excited.
This is like the epitome of prepping this episode.
It sure is. So what is it? What is this episode? What are we doing today?
It's prepper time of the month, time of the year.
Yeah, it's National Preparedness Month.
Yeah, so this is what you guys have been waiting for all year.
All year
long. This month.
Is this
September
yet? We've
been preparing you for this month.
Yeah.
I think it's a good time, like, to use this month as time to, like, okay, I really need to get everything in gear and start actually doing something.
Well, and it's a reminder sometimes. It's like, well, I'm almost at 5,000 rounds of ammo. Like, wait. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe we should think about some other things before we get too nutty.
Like 5,000 arrows.
Yes, exactly.
For your crossbow.
Yeah. But guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That is 10% off with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com.
Man,
you got. You are not prepared.
You are not prepared for TacPack.
Listener, reviews starts now.
Why don't you go and take this one?
I read it already, so I can get it.
I know.
Gosh dang it.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Yeah.
Whether you're suckling sprinklers dry.
Well, sucking is what he said. I'm suckling.
Counting the number of calories in cream corn with your children, Casual Preppers has all the knowledge my weathered and leathered ear holes need to hear to stay survive. From bean counting vampires to likely total blackout of the United States, I have learned it all thanks to Cam and Kobe's ridiculous country accents. Keep on prepping, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Danny boy, 8889.
Yes, we appreciate that, Dan. If you guys want to be a part of this portion of the podcast, go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Kindle book on Amazon, leave us a 5-star review, and make it awesome.
Really awesome.
It's a mad, mad world.
So I read this article, Cameron, and this is this morning, and I'm like, we're getting nutty.
Yeah, we are.
We're getting as nutty, we're getting mad, you know, just like Mad, Mad World. So this article says, in an article for the National Security blog War on the Rocks, nuclear policy wonks turned college professors Adam Lowther and Curtis McGriffin proposed making it easier for the president to launch nukes and advocating for an American artificially intelligent dead hand. So this is freaking me out. So dead hand is a Russian fail deadly. Instead of fail safe, it's called fail deadly.
But everybody makes more sense.
Exactly, yeah. First deployed during the Cold War that ensures Russia's nukes fly if the country is attacked. Even
no matter
if,
freaking what?
Even if no one exists to launch them.
Gosh.
So this is what they're saying. So they're basically
everything's annihilated, but still.
Exactly. Lothar and McGriffin suggest that
nuke them more. I think they're not dead. They're still firing missiles.
Thanks to Russians' new nuclear weapons. So they have these new weapons that are harder to detect. We don't know
joke, that exists. Existed.
That's what they said.
So it's like getting shot and you have a grenade in your hand.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So Russia has these new nuclear weapons that they're afraid that they're not going to see them coming and they're not going to have time to retaliate, right? And so they suggest that thanks to those new nuclear weapons, the credible fear that America could retaliate with a nuclear strike is disappearing. So they're afraid we just won't be able to retaliate. So the solution is to give control of nuclear weapons to AI.
Jeez, man.
So time compression has placed America's senior leadership in a situation where the existing command and control system may not act rapidly enough, they wrote. Thus, it may be necessary to develop a system based on artificial intelligence with predetermined response decisions that detects, decides, and directs strategic forces with such speed that the attack time compression challenge does not place the United States in an impossible position. So basically, even if we get hit by nukes and
still
like
fire,
it's all gone, those nukes will still go. It's like we're all dead at
That's
this point.
Freaking ridiculous,
so,
man.
It kind of goes back to MAD, which is the mutually assured destruction. It's like we haven't nuked Russia because we're afraid they're going to nuke us, right? So it's again.
Once that's gone.
Yeah, well, so you can look at it at several ways because if Russia thinks now that they have the upper hand because they can launch without them us being able
no
to
no matter
retaliate.
What, they're going to get nuked.
But now they know no matter what, they're still going to get
nuked.
Like,
I can understand that.
And so there's a little bit of a back and forth, but
some security in that.
When I see AI and nuclear weapons in the
what
same
a great
sentence,
idea.
That's just fantastic. Yeah.
Hey, Google, add water to shopping list and launch nukes 2 through 4.
Yeah. Hey, Google, can you hit Russia? Yeah, today? That'd be great. Thanks.
Can we schedule a 3 a.m. launch? Thanks, Google.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's,
so, anyways,
man,
that's
we
the
are.
Thing.
We're losing our freaking minds.
We are. Uh huh. Mm hmm.
So I just wanted to bring up, obviously, Hurricane Dorian has been nasty. But reading the articles about the Bahamas, you know, its own little mini country doesn't, you know, United States makes up 0.1% of it anyway. So after this hurricane happened and has freaking just like taken buildings, ripped them off their foundation and blown them who knows where.
Yeah.
But the relief effort of the country itself is like non-existent. The only efforts that they've seen are from British and Americans, like, as the first response, which is horrible. And then the structure and mainframe, like, to get tents and buildings set up to, like, help, there's nowhere to put them. It's, like, all on, like, flooded
water
and trees and debris. So, like, it just makes me think of, you know, no matter what efforts we have in place to rely on the government for response, you can't. Like, you've got to have some plan. It sucks for them. Being an islander was like the worst.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, it maybe
but
you
most of them
live on an island.
Well, right. But and the other thing is like, you know, they do get advanced warnings on these things. It's like.
How long did we know it was coming?
Right.
You know,
it's like you got to have a plan in
you
place
at least
here
have,
of like, what if my house gets ripped off from the foundation?
What am I going to do?
What will I do?
Yeah.
Should I have a barrel of water stored up in the trees and the rocks maybe?
I know.
But yeah, they're scrambling for everything, and it's just, you know, you've got a plan to not rely on the government and your
some
you know,
of those.
You've got to have your own.
Did you see any of like the little home videos that people were showing like during the floods and when stuff was going
I haven't
down?
Seen
I saw there's actually one that I posted on Facebook or something, and this guy's in his house, second story, and the water is just rushing up against his porch, his second story porch, and coming in and like. Everything is floating in his house, and he's still in his damn house.
Why don't
I'm like,
they go
what
up
is
high?
Going on?
Isn't there hills in the Bahamas?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And so, anyways, that's nuts. I mean, just
so it's just like
why we
you got to plan ahead, and that's what we're going to talk about.
I understand it's paradise, but you can only I don't know. You
was
know
that
I mean?
Hurricane paradise?
Well, I don't think so.
So
Cameron, I'm really excited about today's episode. This is a little bit different because we're kind of actually taking most of our content directly from FEMA.
Yeah.
And so FEMA is sort of the entity that sponsors National Preparedness Month, and that's every September. And that's now. Today is September, Cameron.
It is. It sure is.
And so they,
almost halfway gone.
I know. They have a program set out, which is pretty cool, that kind of every week, I know we're a little bit late on this, but every week there's some things you should look at to do to kind of help yourself and your family get more prepared.
Yeah.
Right? And, and most of it's pretty simple stuff, but a lot of it, again, we don't think about it. We're focused on like bug out bags, and we're focused on you know,
nice
fancy schmancy
fires.
Yeah. So we thought we would go over what.
Well, I think I mean, and we talked about that where it is from FEMA. It's not original, but who has gone and looked at this?
Exactly.
I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't
either.
First
time I've actually looked through it.
So that's kind of why we thought we would bring the information to you.
Why don't you listen instead of read?
In casual prepper style. So
So
let's look at what they had for week one of National Preparedness Month. And it says, save early for disaster costs.
Yeah. So like I was talking about in this hurricane, they had this time to think about like getting prepared. But obviously before that, you need to get a lot more ready for
readier.
All kinds of readier. Yeah.
More readier.
A lot different types of disasters, even though you're in an area that may not have certain ones. You've got to prepare ahead of time for all of these things. So on week one, save early for disaster costs. So like the number one thing would be, you know, working on your financial situation.
Yeah.
Getting a way of, one, you know, try to get out as much debt as you can. And then second is... it's like when I watched American Blackout, one of the most disturbing things is when they're in the van, the family, you know, they can't use the ATMs. Like, you can't access what you use on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, your credit, your debit, all of your plastic. None of that is going to work.
When you mentioned, you know, getting out of debt, it's funny because somebody was on, it was like a Facebook group, I think.
I saw that.
Did you see it? They're like, well, I don't know if I ought to get this new generator or pay down my credit cards. And I'm like, dude, pay down your credit cards.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing right now.
I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying this person does, but a lot of people think, you know, when a disaster comes, my debt's gone. Nobody's going to be collecting it because you know, so I might as well prepare to keep myself alive. They will come after you.
With a hatchet.
Yeah.
Probably.
They'll be in scuba gear if it's flood, no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's just a relief, you know, stress-wise, too. It gets you, you know, thinking ahead and being more prepared, having more financial freedom to prepare ahead of time.
It makes you a better prepper when it comes down to it.
For sure.
Because you have more freedom, like you said.
Yeah, and so one thing is about, one thing that I, besides just getting money ready, some quick little things. We've talked about these before. According to the Federal Reserve, 40% of Americans don't have $400 in savings. $400.
That's not good.
And I looked on also Bankrate.com stated $1,000 unexpected expense would throw most Americans into debt. See, roughly 40% could pay that type, but most would be in a bind if they missed one single paycheck.
Yeah, so look, this is what, you know, we talk about buying all this gear and getting all this stuff ready. Before you do anything, get yourself out of that statistic.
Yeah.
Make sure that you can have $1,000 somewhere in case crap happens, because that is way more important than having a generator, or more important than having 5,000 rounds of .223 ammo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get that first before anything. We're telling you right now.
Yeah.
Do it.
Get that crap done.
Yeah.
Having cash available, in your house or wherever, in a secure location. You know, people always talk about having cash, not a good idea. People are going to steal it. But that, we've always talked about cash being king. Like, that's going to buy you more in that situation than anything. You can't use, you know, here's my debit card. You can swipe.
Like American Express. Take it.
Venmo's not working. Hold on.
Stupid.
So, start saving today and start getting a cash, a cash stash. Somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, like that. I'm gonna make sure.
Make
that.
A rhyme.
The other thing is to get pictures of your bank cards, credit cards, things like that. All the backsides you can cancel. Because, like, a lot of this stuff, you know, I look at those floods and those hurricanes, your crap, your personal items just get spread
it's floating
all over
down the
community.
Neighborhood. I mean, it's in your neighbor's, like, window well, probably.
So it's like, you got to get yourself ready for that kind of disaster, to call banks and call when, you know, when you're able to do so. I had my wallet stolen at the fair.
It always happens at the
pissed
fair.
Pissed me off.
Somebody immediately charged
$20 for
tokens. I'm
going to
say it again. The fair brings out the worst people in the world. I don't care who you are.
I don't know where they come from.
Every white trash, disgusting person on the planet comes to the fair.
I know. And I'm there like, these people are gross. Like, yet I'm there.
I can't believe I live with these people. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm one of these people.
I know.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. People are trash.
Yeah.
Hey, Finn, will you go over there and give me a corn dog?
Yeah, I want a deep fried Oreo. Bring it back.
Having those things quickly available so that you can cancel whatever you need to and get a hold of your financial institutions.
I love it.
Flood Smart. Most insurances, home insurances, do not include flood insurance.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some locations where if you're by a river stuff, they require you to have it, but most don't have it.
Yeah, if you're in a floodplain, then you have to have it for your, but otherwise, you don't have to have it.
Yeah, so what does it cost a year? The most common in these non-required flood areas, it's like $600 or $700 more a year, which makes me even consider it, because we've had flash floods.
We have,
When I lived next to Kobe, like, we had this one, and all of my backyard, it all just ran down in my basement.
Yeah.
It's like mud and sand.
Cam wasn't home.
And I wasn't home. My wife took care of it. She did great.
I took care of it.
Kobe was over there, I guess. I don't know. What were you doing over at my house when I was home?
I was checking out your wife's basement. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought there was things
I was taking care of it all. Don't worry.
Thanks for cleaning things up.
You're welcome.
But yeah, $600 or $700 more. And if you look at FEMA, they have like these little flyers that say, you know, $600 or $700 a year is a drop in the bucket compared to like your $50,000 damage from floods. It doesn't take much to just destroy your home with water. So consider flood insurance, and understand that, and have your numbers you know, saved. Mm-hmm. It takes roughly 30 days after a flood for this to even kick into effect. That's a long time.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so if they even kick into effect, they might just ignore you. The other thing that's important is, you know, documents to ensure your property and you know, all that homeowner insurance, your flood insurance, mm-hmm. your life insurance, your medications, your family. So it talks about the getting an emergency financial first aid kit. EFAC.
Oh, EFAC.
Yeah, EFAC.
I like that.
So and it consists of four sections. Household identification.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't mean like, my house is blue and on the left with brown roof. Done. Check.
Yeah, I like it.
It's household identification is like family members that are in that household.
Sure.
Their names, social, obviously you got to keep the stuff secure. But
you know, don't write it on your garage door or something. This is where I'm putting it. I won't forget
it's
it here.
A banner I'm going to lay out. Yeah. Just flip it down as soon as a disaster strikes. This is who's in here. It's our social
security. Just a flag you run up your flagpole with all that information on it.
Watch bra signs. Most important information.
Yeah.
It's just everybody in your household and contact numbers and things like that. So if, you know, one of you can't make it home, or even the kids just themselves, they have access to this information that has all those things to contact, you know, emergency services and other family members that are out of state, ways they can find you, find others, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The second thing's financial and legal documentation, like I was talking about, having numbers, phone numbers to your financial institutions and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Medical information for you, your family, which would be included in that household identification, but also more specifically, you know, what you're allergic to, what you're on, what are your medical problems, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff to put on a flag and holy stuff.
Exactly.
And then the household contact. So it's like household identification in broad, and then financial legal documentation, medical information, household contact. So get your emergency financial first aid kit in line, people.
So are they talking about this being just like a little like a packet of some sort?
Basically,
or what?
Yeah. So I think a good thing would be to have a digital form and then to print it out and put it in like a safe box, one of those fireproof, waterproof ones. I have a little one downstairs in that, and I have those in there for that very reason. You know, if it's fire or water or anything, it's still not going to be damaged. Plus, if it's in the cloud, it's probably not safe either.
Yeah. No, you're completely right.
And then just some quick little facts here, you know, is like it if you look at FEMA's website, they have like these little hashtag things. And it talked about those. Actually, I think it covered all of them. So I'm pretty good.
Well done.
How do you, you know, think ahead of paying for those bills? Because things are going to come back online. And you know, as soon as your internet's back up, you're going to need paying for it.
Yeah.
Talk to your kids. And that's going to be something more in depth I'm going to talk about. And then, get those photos taken. That has saved my butt a couple of times.
That's such a good idea.
The backs and fronts of a card. Because most of the time it gets worn off anyway. You can't even read it.
Yep.
So anyway, there you go.
So that was week one. I like that, Cameron. I like that a lot. So then when it goes to week two, it says make a plan. And we've talked about this a whole bunch too, but it definitely, it's worth repeating. Make an emergency plan. And it goes through a couple of steps. And the first step is basically talk about these four questions with your family, your friends, your household, or whoever it is. And the first one is, how do I receive emergency alerts or warnings? Because that the kids might not understand that. And I don't know if I've actually talked with that to my kids about that. Like, how are you going to know that there actually is an emergency? Like, how is that going to happen? So talk about the types of alerts that are available. One of those being the WEAs. So that's basically the wireless emergency alerts. And everybody in, was that last year or the year before in Hawaii that got that alert? Do you remember that? That they said that there was a ballistic missile on the way, but it's actually an accident. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So that is something. So what is the WEA? And it's made available through the Integrated Public Alert and Warning System infrastructure. So basically, these can be sent by state and local public safety officials, the National Weather Service, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the president. Those are the people that can send those out. And I'm sure you've got those like Amber Alerts before. Have you ever got those on your phone?
The
they just start, you know, buzzing. They can be
usually like 16 counties across the state.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll watch for that van.
It can be issued for three alert categories: imminent threat, Amber Alerts, and presidential. So the presidential, I mean, who knows? Twitter could be down and he's sending out an alert. I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's true.
This is bull crap. I can't tweet. I'm sending it to all you directly. So the president can do whatever
Tumblr
he wants.
Work right now. Where am I going to send this?
Yeah. You know, the imminent threat, that's again goes back to like that thing in Hawaii where they got the ballistic threat missile warning that was false.
I can't even believe that happened.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, it's insane. They look basically like text messages when they come through, but they're designed to get your attention, alert you with a unique sound and vibration. Both are repeated twice. So again, like this is good information for us to know, but especially good for younger kids to understand what this is going to look like. They're no more than 90 characters, and they're going to include the type and time of the alert, any action you should take, as well as the agency issuing the alert. They're not affected by network congestion and will not disrupt text calls or data sessions that are in progress. You're not going to be charged for them, so don't worry about that, you cheapos.
can I turn these off?
And so to make sure that your device is WEA capable, you can just check with your service provider. So that's one of the big ones and probably the first one most people
I
are
want
get.
A new Pixel phone. Is it Wii?
Yeah.
Wii?
Can I get Wii on that? So then the other one is the emergency alert system. This is the classic one that we all know about, right? It's a modernization and integration of the nation's existing and future alert and warning systems, technologies, and infrastructure. It's a national public warning system that requires broadcasters, satellite digital audio service, and direct broadband satellite providers, cable television systems, wireless cable systems, to provide the president with a communications capability to address the American people within 10 minutes during a national emergency. It's also used by state and local authorities in cooperation with broadcast community to deliver important emergency information such as weather information. We've all seen those. Imminent threats, amber alerts, and local incident information targeted to specific areas. So if it's a local incident, they can use that as well. The president has a sole responsibility for determining when the national level EAS will be activated. FEMA is responsible for national level EAS tests and exercises. So the president is basically the only one. Hey, what are you doing?
I was trying to get you some sound emergency.
Oh, I see.
But it was all BS.
Okay. So the president is the only one that can say we need a national level EAS. And I don't know if I've ever actually seen a national. Have you ever seen a national one?
Is that the one they test?
They test it, but I don't know if I've actually seen like
I've
a
never
real,
actually seen one
I can't,
legitimately come across.
I wonder if it's ever been used. I don't know.
And probably.
Yep. Another one is the NOAA weather radio.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We talk about those quite frequently, right? So basically, the NWR broadcasts official warnings, watches, forecasts, and other hazard information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It also broadcasts alerts of non-weather emergencies basically through the EAS. Same thing. So let everybody know what types of alerts are out there that are in your group so they understand how they're going to get those.
That is good to know.
So that was the
Never
first
thought
one.
About that.
Yeah, that's the first one. The second one is, what is my shelter plan? And that's going to be critical. It's going to be more critical in certain types of situations and emergencies, but you still need to have that plan. Sheltering is appropriate when conditions require that you seek protection in your home, place of employment, or other location when disaster strikes. Sheltering outside the hazard area could include staying with friends and relatives, seeking commercial lodging, or staying in a mass care facility operated by disaster relief groups. So, as we all know, FEMA or Red Cross, a lot of times they will set up those mass care facilities. And my guess is, I don't know if they did that in the Bahamas recently, if it was even possible.
I think they're trying to.
Maybe they
I don't
trying
think they
to.
Have
yeah.
been able to yet.
It's crazy. So what is a mass care shelter? You know, it says, even though mass care shelters often provide water, food, medicine, and basic sanitary facilities, you should plan to take your disaster supplies kit with you so you will have the supplies
we
you require.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Having blankets and comfort. I heard they're pretty nasty.
Because a lot of people
like,
are like,
pretty rough.
Oh, I'm just going to go to the Red Cross facility. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put like.
What room do I get? Where's my
key? Do I get a jacuzzi in my room or what?
Is there a way I can upgrade to a suite?
Yeah. Where's room service menu? Like, it's not going to be like that.
Is there a box of pizza? And like,
yeah.
There's pop.
Yep.
It's not fun.
So just make sure that you have like everything you need to stay alive least when you get to those. And there's something you can do actually to find out where these mass care shelters are going to be. So you can search for open shelters by texting shelter and your zip code to 43362.
This is for the mass shelters, or is this like Airbnb
that's to
for
search,
shelters?
You can search for open
my house
shelters.
For shelter? I'll put it on the list.
If something's going down and you're looking for one, if you text shelter and your zip code, then it will send you where the nearest facility is.
I'm doing it right now.
Well, I don't know if it'll happen right now, because probably none, but I would try it, see what happens. Also, we've talked about this.
I'll probably get spammed to death all day.
You probably will.
Stop.
Stop.
Type
stop.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
No.
You can also get the FEMA app, and it's basically going to have all that information for you right inside the app. I think was that last episode that we talked about that? I can't remember. But yeah, the FEMA app is going to have all that type of information for you, so might as well just get it. So let's talk about sheltering. Sheltering in place, you all right?
Yeah, I just did it wrong. Probably going to get somebody, what do you want?
Shelter, what are you talking about?
Should I take shelter? Is that what you're telling
is this
me?
What's happening? So let's talk about...
This is invalid contact.
43362?
43362.
Text shelter. Well, this is the information we got from FEMA.
Oh, and then 8...
And then you have to put you have to put a...
try it. What is it going to say?
What is it going to say? This is, I mean, live on air. This is happening. Isn't this amazing?
Failed. No, it's good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So let's talk about sheltering in place. You know, whether you're home or work, there may be situations where basically you need to stay where you're at, and going somewhere else isn't going to help. So, like it says there.
Gosh.
What?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at? Is it not working?
No, I did it totally wrong.
Oh. Read the instructions, dude. There may be circumstances when staying put and creating a barrier between yourself.
Some number just got 8 shelter 433.
And potentially contaminated air outside. A process known as sealing the room is a matter of survival. So we've talked about this before, sheltering in place. If there's like some sort of a contamination of the air, or if there's a nuclear, meltdown, or there's a bomb or whatever it is. So here's some things to think about when that happens. Bring your family and pets inside. Don't let your kids play in the backyard if a shelter in place is happening. I just want some fresh air, Dad. Lock your doors. Close your windows.
All right, there we go.
And air vents and fireplace dampers. Think about all of those things.
We're going to bust in here. You guys need shelter?
Yeah, I know.
We're searching, and we'll send another message. Before going to shelter, always check with your local emergency management.
Oh, cool. See?
So, it went.
It works. I wasn't lying.
Yep. Mm.
Okay, so turn off your fans, air conditioning, and forced air heating systems when this happens. Take your emergency supply kit unless you have a reason to believe it has been contaminated. Go to an interior room with few windows, if possible. Seal all the windows, doors, and air vents with 2 to 4 millimeter thick plastic sheeting and duct tape. Consider measuring and cutting the sheeting in advance to save time. That's not a bad idea. You know, if you know where you're going to be sheltering in place.
Hey, Halloween's coming up.
I know.
Just make your house into a shelter like that.
I think,
and then you'll have already pre-cut.
Pull your flag
up. Roll it up.
Yeah. Pull your flag up.
Push flag up daily.
Yeah.
We could not locate a shelter near your location.
Well, probably, we're
screwed.
Well, because there's not a disaster right now, so it's not going to have one up. So.
Oh, yeah.
But when it gets close to there's a disaster, that should work.
43362.
Cut the plastic sheeting several inches wider than the openings and label each sheet, Cameron, so you don't get them mixed up.
Front door, back door.
Yeah. Duct tape.
Hi.
We're playing footsie again. Duct tape plastic at corners first, and then tape down all the edges.
Oh.
All right.
It's going into detail.
It's going into really detail. Pull the duct tape firmly.
Rip it with tooth. Incisor.
Don't get sticky stuff on your fingers.
Don't let tape stick together. Pain in the A.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. I don't know why it's... be prepared to improvise and use what you have on hand to seal gaps so that you can create a barrier between yourself and any contamination. That means, like, if you got pillars or blankets...
Wrap family members in plastic sheeting.
Get Walmart bags put overhead of children.
Use pen poke holes in the nose hole area.
That's not going to help. local authorities may not immediately be able to provide information on what is happening and what you should do. However, you should watch TV. So you gotta watch TV, listen to the radio, or check the internets often for official news and instructions as they come available. You know your wife's gonna be on Pinterest.
TV, internet, TV, internet,
Pinterest. Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Honestly, that's where they should send all emergency alerts.
They should.
Why does this keep popping up? Emergency planning, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Honey, can we make an emergency
Can we buy
plan?
One of these?
I've been telling you for years.
Which one do you think we should get?
I like the way they painted this emergency plan.
This one matches.
This one's printed out real nice.
Yeah. So the third question is, what is my evacuation route? And those guys in the Bahamas, I hope they had evacuation routes because...
Raft.
Raft.
Airplane. I'm done. I'm done. There's no other route.
So before...
Don't live on an island.
Before an evacuation, learn the types of disasters that are likely in your community and local emergency evacuation and shelter plans for each specific disaster. Right. So like with Cam and I, we're not too worried about hurricanes, are we?
No.
We're just not. But we are worried about earthquakes or...
Earthquake-a-canes.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Those types of things. So you can talk to your local emergency management office and they'll give you all this information, right? Plan how you will leave and where you will go if you are advised to evacuate. You got to have that in place, you guys. Identify several places you could go in an emergency, such as a friend's home in another town or a motel. Choose destinations in different directions so that you have the options during an emergency. You don't want them all in the same direction because if it's happening over there.
Honey, you go over there, I'm going to go over here.
Yeah.
Kids, you go that way.
Kids, you just stay here. You're going to be fine. If needed, identify a place to stay that will...
I'll put on a cartoon.
That's my evacuation plan. That's my emergency plan is a Cartoon Network.
Cartoon iPads are over there.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Pass them all out.
Wrap yourself.
We trained for this.
I got this down.
If needed, identify a place to stay that will accept pets. Most public shelters allow only service animals. So if you got a pet, just make it a service animal when it comes down to it.
Did you see during the hurricane there was like a animal shelter with 900 pets that drowned, which is pretty crappy.
That sucks.
They didn't even let them out of the cages.
Jeez. At least let them out, let them swim.
People all for themselves.
I know. That's horrible.
They probably would have lasted longer than the humans.
They probably would have. Be familiar with alternative routes and other means of transportation out of your area. Always always follow the instructions of local officials and remember that your evacuation route may be on foot, depending on the type of disaster.
So plan for that.
Make sure you can walk at least a mile.
Yeah. Don't wear your flip-flops.
Don't wear your flip-flops.
Don't pack them in your bug out bag.
That's your extra footwear is flip-flops.
New flip-flops.
Yeah, they're brand new. I haven't used them. You always want to break them in, though, before you use them.
Yeah, that's so true.
You don't
want
to break them
in. Freaking sore in between your toes.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. Develop a family household communication and reunification plan so that you can maintain contact and take the best actions for each of you and reunite if you are separated. Again, that's what we've talked about this a whole bunch of times. Assemble supplies that are ready for evacuation, both with a go bag you can carry when you evacuate on foot or public transportation, and supplies for traveling longer distances if you have a personal vehicle. Again, bug out bag. We've talked about that a billion times. If you have a car, keep your gas, keep a full tank of gas in it if an evacuation seems likely. I mean, that seems just like basic common sense there, but if it's looking like a hurricane is coming, have a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you won't want to stop on the way out. Say, oh crap, I only got a quarter tank. Can't get out of town. Keep a half tank of gas at all times, and we've talked about that a million times as well. Gas stations may be closed during emergencies or unable to pump gas during power outages. Plan to take one car per family to reduce congestion and delay. Like, if you got three cars, don't take all three cars.
I love this one. I just fixed this truck up.
I know. I'm not leaving that.
Kids love the van.
So we'll let them drive the van. I'll drive the truck.
Guarantee that's going to happen.
I know.
I got to take all of them.
Make sure your cars have emergency kits.
Yeah.
Again, that's super important.
Gone over this a million times.
Yeah. This is a million and one right here. All right. If you don't have a car, plan how you're going to get the crap out of there. I mean, like, I don't know what you're going to do, but figure out how you're getting out of town. You know?
Talk to your neighbor.
Is it bikes or are you going to jump in your neighbor's truck bed? Whatever you got to do.
Scooters, hoverboards.
Yeah, can you imagine? Whole family leaving town with hoverboards and go bags. Just a flood coming in behind them. And, oh, jeez.
That's a sight.
That is a sight. Okay, so another one is consider specific needs in your household, all right?
Like chores need to be done.
Well, yeah. Different ages of members within your household, you know, who's responsible for assisting others. Like, if you got a 92-year-old grandma, you're probably not going to want her in
charge. With you.
Yeah. She's had a great life. She's going to be okay.
Don't be slowed up.
Let her get back to grandpa. It's time. The reunification in heaven is going to be glorious.
Reunification goes both ways here.
It does. So talk about the locations you frequent, your places of work, church, schools, Taco Bell, whatever it is, you know, where do you go often? All right. What are your dietary needs? I just put fruit snacks down. Medical needs, including prescriptions and equipment, right?
They should just make all Subways a shelter because there's 5 billion per town.
There is. What do we have, 3 in our little town? Yeah. That's insane. Disabilities are access and functional needs, including devices and equipment. So if you got disabilities and you need equipment, language is spoken. You know, do you speak other languages? Is there cultural or religious considerations that need to be made? You know,
can't miss church.
It's Sunday. No disasters today. I don't care. We're dealing with
We'll handle it after.
I got to teach Sunday school. Pets or service animals.
I don't have coverage. I'll try. Yeah. But nobody fell in for me.
Nobody's answering their phone.
Make sure you're taking care of that. You still got responsibilities.
Yeah. Your number one responsibility is to the Lord. Remember that. All right. So the last one.
People are going to be like, I didn't get anything out of this.
Number 3, fill out a family emergency plan. Again, we've talked about this a million times. FEMA has one on their site. I don't like it as much. I actually looked through it. It's not as good. Go to the Red Cross one.
That's good to know.
I like it better. Google Red Cross emergency plan. Google will take
care
of that.
Well, we're talking about FEMA or Red Cross here?
Right now we're talking about Red Cross.
Okay.
I think theirs is better. I mean, you could debate me on that if you want, but I think it's better.
Okay.
And then once you have that done, and that includes a lot of the stuff we just talked about, practice it. Figure out how to do it.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
You really have to go through it.
You have to.
You can't just like, oh, I'm going to do that.
You don't think those people on Broadway just get up on stage and do it first night when you come, do they?
No.
Just think of yourself as a Broadway actor. You know?
Disaster Broadway actor.
Disaster actor.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
I like that.
I know. All right. That's all I got for that.
Disaster actor. All right. So week number 3, which is next week.
That's next week. We're in two right now.
This is youth preparedness. So how do you get your kids involved in all of this? And we get a lot of people who are like, how do I get my wife involved? How do I get my family involved?
Yeah.
Just get them involved.
Make them.
Yeah.
You're the man of the house. You're the woman of the house. Tell them you're doing it.
Yeah. You're an adult.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the podcast and stuff, you've got control.
If you're the biggest person in the room, you can make them do whatever you want.
Right. So the number one thing here is involve them in all of it. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you know, there's these points you're like, oh, that's interesting. Bring it up to your family. Talk to your family about it. Like, guess what? The podcast guy said, make sure to attend church in a disaster.
The podcast guy said.
I don't know who I'm listening to. I just found him. But there's a lot of, on FEMA's website, a ton of ways to get your youth involved. So kids make up 25% of the population. So it's not a big deal if we lose that many.
We're going to be fine if we lose
them all. We got 75% of adults that can get things done.
That's a good ratio.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
So 25% is huge.
And they eat 99% of the fruit snacks. Yeah. This seems wrong.
You want to see a sugar cane field cleaned out?
Causes 92% of all problems in the world. Yeah. What's happening here?
Insomnia created by 25% of the population.
Yeah.
So kids, as much as we think they're dumb, they're actually quite smart.
Yeah.
And they're positive thinkers. You know, they're little problem solvers. They learn how to get up on everything to get up to the cookies you've hidden and stuff like that. So they're really smart, though. And you can, if you go over these things with them and involve them in this plan, like my kids, like even when they're not supposed to, think they can get into their little bug out bags and play with the knives and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they know where these supplies are. But going through a plan of like, you know, what happens when this happens and you're at school? You know, what are you going to do and how are you going to manage that? So I've thought about like a plan with my kids, like where the school is probably going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Parents trying to get in. And, you know, what do they do if they have to sit there and we can't get to them? You know, we've talked about, I've thought about, not talked about yet, a plan of maybe like the church buildings just down the road from, you know, the elementary school. if they walk to there, that would be our meeting point as a family, yeah. so that it's not as congested. You know, if you're meeting at McDonald's, everybody's going to be meeting.
Everybody's going there for one last nuggie.
So, and talk to your kids about the community risks, like what are the disasters that could happen and how they would handle them. I printed out last night, and we kind of looked at it briefly. We're going to go over it a little more tonight. It's Pedro's. I forgot my backpack. Pedro's like preparedness plan, and it has like all these different activities for flooding and what you should do. And then there's like little games and stuff. You can actually print out cards to put on like cardstock and stuff so that you can have like a card game of like handling different disasters. If they know in that area that you live, what's the most likely thing they're going to run into, then that's going to be the first thing that they're going to know how to handle the best. And going over them with, you know, maybe sticking in their backpack, like different numbers that they can call and reach if they can't get a hold of you.
Yeah.
They can get a hold of other people, you know.
And that the Red Cross emergency plan has that on one of the pages.
Yeah.
So that's why we.
That little packet for kids actually has those things
nice,
too.
Yeah.
So you could take it out and laminate it and put it in their backpack or something. There's a lot of different places. There's Sesame Street Fire Safety Program for preschool. There's Reedy Wrigley
Ready.
Center.
Ready. He's not a guy who likes to read.
I'm reading a lot.
They call me
Spearmint Gum.
Reedy Wrigley.
That's the CDC website. And then there's Owly Skywarn. Makes sense.
I like that.
Owls are always looking. National Weather Service on things to watch for: tornadoes, lightning, thunder, when to, you know, where to go, how to go. But there's like 9 priority steps for creating a nation of prepared youth. So just some quick things of elevate the importance of youth preparedness learning programs at a national, state, local level. You can even get a community program together, and FEMA goes through that to where you can like try and submit to the community of like, let's do this for the kids. Let's have this event. You know, your church probably would offer some services that way that you could talk about, you know, on a Tuesday night, let's get together and talk about a plan as a group. Some of them already do stuff like that. Scouts obviously has good programs in that. Evaluate the quality and effectiveness of existing and new youth preparedness programs. So some of the things they're going over, you could go over as well and see what's missing, lacking. Go over it with your kids personally, and so they understand, you know, on the community level, but also on the personal level of your own family. Support the implementation of these programs in the community. You know, try to attend them and try to be involved in them and try and get it so that it, you know, as a community, these emergency responses are going to flow a lot smoother if everybody's involved trying to make it work correctly.
Yep.
Obviously, there's weirdos usually that try and set these up, and you're like,
I don't want to hang out with those people for an hour.
So do your own thing, you know, with, you know, maybe me and you, Kobe, we should run a little run through.
Now, we're doing enough as it is. Good gracious. How much are we supposed to do?
We'll just not show up at home, see what happens. We'll put some cameras up, see what the kids do. And then positive relationships with your first responders in the community and things like that. And then, like I was saying, the family and community participation, church, scouts, things like that usually do have some of these things for disaster prevention. There's even like the wilderness first aid classes that youth can take part in. They love that stuff. Most of them. I don't know about the new ones. New kids are bad.
New kids, is that what you're saying?
And then school preparedness. I don't know how much they teach of any of this stuff in school.
Well,
I remember talking about like getting under your desk for earthquakes.
Yeah, sure. Most schools have some sort of an emergency plan, so at least you could get with the school.
And they practice fire drills all the time.
Get with the school, figure out what their plan is, they have them email it to you, and at least you can talk to your kids about what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To see where and how it takes place, and then you can customize it to help your kids too. If you know, once they nicely and organized move them out of the building, then they're like, "Get lost!"
Yeah, exactly.
Get on that bus. It's not normal bus. It's creepy looking. identify opportunities embedded in the youth preparedness and youth culture. Like I said, get involved in all the different things that are out there for them, and then. Sustaining locally driven model for developing designing. Like I said, you could go on to FEMA, and if you don't have anything set up in your community, you could create a plan and try and get more people involved just to make it, you know, the community based plans are going to, it's going to work a lot better.
Yep.
If it's not just you and your family mm-hmm. doing these things, if you get your neighbors involved, and it just, it helps everybody. Yep. First responders aren't overwhelmed. You're able to kind of keep your kids out of the way of things and not yeah. just like running around texting, sitting at the soda shack.
Soda shack.
I wonder where my family's going to.
Yeah.
So anyway, like those are just some used things. It's the easiest thing is to go to the website and look at some different things to get your kids involved, because it's yeah. hard. There's a lot of different ways to approach it.
I completely agree. Hey, Cam, did you know that most subscription boxes are full of samples and junk that you'll never use? But not BattleBox. It's the monthly subscription box for men, full of solid gear for adventure seekers, survivalists, outdoor enthusiasts, and casual preppers. Each month, BattleBox sends you the coolest selection of hand-picked outdoor survival and everyday carry gear, all valued at far more than what you'd normally pay. You never know what's in the next box, but here's a sampling of what users received this last month. They got that extremely powerful Nebo 2 160 lumen flashlight with a laser that can almost reach the freaking moon. Wahaha. So this was actually from a few months ago, actually. They had like the Flitz polish stuff for your knives, and there was some water purification. This month I saw that they have a little portable car charger, battery charger, and USB bank, power bank. Oh, it looks sweet.
Yeah, I love those things.
Yeah, they're freaking awesome.
Can't have enough of them.
All of this badassness starts at about $30 a month. They've shipped almost a million boxes, and they've won Best Men's Subscription Box of 2017. Our listeners get a free tactical knife when you sign up at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. That's trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Use our code casualpreppers, and you're going to get a free tactical knife when you order. Again, it's going to come.
No extra cost.
Yeah, no extra cost. It's going to be free. It's going to come in a different shipment, so don't worry if it's not there in the original box, all right? Anyways, check them out. BattleBox, we should have ours very soon, our new one.
Yeah, seriously, I use some of their gear every day.
Yeah, I do every single day, too.
I always have something that I use from them. So if you don't know where to get started on September preparedness, go freaking
do it. Yeah, exactly.
Go subscribe.
So, Cam, have you ever heard of CERT?
No.
And I'm not talking about the delicious breath mints.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, isn't there a breath
mint? There is, yeah. I'm talking about Community Emergency Response
Team. That's what it stands for.
Yeah, and so week four, what does it say on week four for in the thing? It says...
It's community...
Did you see it there?
Well, it's clear to frig up.
It's on the very top.
We got 25 pages.
We got a lot on this one, man.
Don't worry, you guys. Yeah. It's going to be a continuation for the next 4 months.
Yeah. So
get involved in your community's preparedness.
Yeah, and so this is probably the best way to do it, is get involved in CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. The Community Emergency Response Team program educates volunteers about disaster preparedness for the hazards that may impact their area and trains them in basic disaster response skills, such as fire safety, light search and rescue, team organization, and disaster medical operations. CERT offers a consistent nationwide approach to volunteer training and organization that professional responders can rely on during disaster situations, which allows them to focus on more complex tasks. Through CERT, the capabilities to prepare for, respond to, and recover from disasters is built and enhanced. I've wanted to do this for a long time. We've actually spoken to our previous emergency management guy, and he was going to get one rolling for us, and we never did, Cameron.
I'm just looking to see, is there like an age cutoff for that, that you could go to that
program? Oh, I don't know.
Like, they not want 18-month-olds in their crying?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't want 18-month-olds.
But I wondered if there's like an age where they recommend,
I don't know.
14-year-old.
So basically, you know, these are some free classes and seminars that usually your local emergency management office will put on. And you can go to these, and you're going to learn how to safely respond to man-made and natural disasters.
CERT. There's a teen CERT.
Oh, that's cool. You're going to learn to help organize basic disaster response, promote preparedness by hosting and participating in community events. If you can actually send a email if you want to. It's FEMA-prepare@FEMA.DHS.gov, and they can give you, they'll send you some more information on your local emergency manager.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So the organization and timing of training and meetings, it varies from program to program. So it just depends on your area, what it's going to be like, when it's going to be, and where it's going to be. But it's often broken up to 2 to 4 block hours over a series of evenings or weekends. So there's a bunch of different classes, basically, that you'll take. One is disaster preparedness. Another one is fire suppression. So you're going to learn about all types of fire suppression. Medical operations part one and medical operations part two.
Wow, how to do operations?
Yeah, I know. So medical operations gallbladder
part one. Gallbladder removal. Brain surgery.
Right, that's in two. That's in two.
That's in two.
Gallbladder's in one. That's not that hard. I've done that.
Pretty straightforward.
It's no big deal. So in medical operations one, they practice diagnosing and treating airway obstruction, bleeding,
great.
And shock. By using simple triage
support and stuff.
Yeah. And two covers evaluating patients by doing a head to toe assessment, establishing a medical treatment area, and performing basic first aid. So I'd love to take those.
Yeah, I wish the community would do that.
Yeah. They have one on
stub
light.
Stub my toe. I need to be intubated.
I need surgery. light search and rescue operations. Basically, you learn about search and rescue, you know, planning, search techniques, and
that's
all
cool.
Those types of things. Yeah. Psychology and team organization. That would be pretty interesting. So basically covers signs and symptoms that might be experienced by the disaster victim and workers. And so that'd be kind of cool. And then there's a course review, and then there's a disaster simulation afterwards.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So like they hit a button and there's an earthquake cane in the room. No, they go through
the
a simulation.
The walls collapse.
The walls collapse. They go through a simulation. I think that's what I was trying to say. I don't
it's
know
really
exactly.
Similar to other things
yes,
I've done.
Simulation. So anyways, so week four, I mean, that would be a great thing to do is, you know, at least contact your emergency manager. See if there's some certification classes coming up, if there's anything that you can get involved in your local community. You all right, Cam?
Did we not bring BioLite stuff in here?
No, I don't think we did.
Dang it. Anyway.
Yeah. We'll have to do that next time.
Yeah.
So that's what we have.
Yeah.
That's the whole shebang.
I've got one more thing.
Oh, you do. Great. Fantastic.
If you're a casual prepper.
I am, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Outdoor adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
Or survivalist or a cert guy.
Yeah.
You need a survival. You need survival boxes subscription. I just butchered that already. Survival boxes is the only monthly subscription box packed with practical survival gear, 15 to 25 year shelf life, storable meals, survival water or filtration supplies, a monthly survival knowledge card, and even non-GMO heirloom seeds for your survival garden. Starting at just $29 per month, there are many different boxes to choose from that'll cater to your outdoor adventure lifestyle or casual prepping plan. Subscribe today, and every month, Survival Boxes will deliver you the survival gear and supplies you need to stay survived.
Mm.
Your Survival Box values are always more than the Amazon cart values.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed, I already checked this. No sample products, no contracts. Cancel whenever you want. Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off your first box on any monthly subscription. Casual Prepper listeners will also receive a free 1-amp USB solar panel with battery bank flashlight in your first survival box. Subscribe today at survivalboxes.com.
Beautiful.
Easy.
Yes.
Just go and do it.
Yeah.
You're September, you're probably meeting like week
one and
two. I
know, you really are. Yeah. And so we did want to quickly talk about BioLite. We kind of partnered with them a little bit this month on some really cool products that they have. If you want to go to our Instagram and Facebook, Cam put up a couple of videos this last week, I think,
yeah,
is when they came up. One on the Solar Home 620, which we've talked about a couple of times. He actually set that up in his shed.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
It's so
rad
easy.
Product.
So
yeah.
Easy to do.
Yeah. It's super cool. It's a really great backup type.
Yeah. And it's
lighting.
Like there's tons of cordage. Like you can you can stretch those lights, I feel like, a mile away from each other.
You
can put them all over. You can do your whole backyard before a wedding.
Yep. So that thing's really cool. So go check out that little video. And he also did a quick one on the BioLite headlamp, which he is telling me now is his favorite headlamp.
It is my favorite. You know, when I got it, I was like, I've got all these other ones. Mm-hmm. And this one's just a little, you know, everybody, you know, Energizer,
sure,
Duracell,
yeah,
they all make them. This one is sweet. It's just super simple to use. It's very comfortable and it's brighter than bright.
I like to hear that.
Uh-huh.
I like to hear that. Yeah, anyway, so go check those out and then we might have some more stuff for you.
Yeah, I wish we would have brought some of them, but you should check out their website right now because this month too, they have those kits. So if you're like,
yeah,
like literally all the stuff I've gotten from BioLite, I have liked. I've never thought any of their stuff was crap. Like
no,
it's very useful. It solar charged most of it. Battery life lasts forever. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, they have these kits that are already ready for your family. You can get like 4 headlamps, mm-hmm. a solar home, some filters. Done.
Dunzos.
Buy and done.
Yeah. So anyways, go check them out. Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
So I don't know if you'll find this very helpful, but you know, oxygen supplies, I talked a little bit about having like an oxygen tank and everything. And there are some, you know, complications to that, but it would be very helpful if you had one. And you can buy an oxygen tank on Amazon or other medical supply places. You don't need, you know, there's no restriction for getting the tank. And they're like $40 and $60 online for a tank. And then a regulator to give you know, 2 liters of oxygen.
Regulator.
Yeah. They're only like $20.
Oh, okay.
And then you get the tubing and stuff for like $7.99. You get different masks, rebreather masks. You can get all of that and have in your storage plan for, you know, less than $75.
That's pretty cool.
The big downside to it is that the FDA, or, you know, of course, they restrict you from, you have to have a prescription to get the oxygen refilled.
You got to have a prescription to get oxygen?
Yeah.
Because
you can't, obviously you could go to like welding places, things like that, fill it full of oxygen, but it's not a medically purified oxygen. Yeah. You might get high off them. Acetylene and all that other stuff.
Cool.
But you know, the oxygen uses, you know, you've got shock. It's used in that hypoxemia, you know, low blood oxygen for other causes, pulmonary issues, decompression illness, mountain sickness, high altitude pulmonary edema, carbon monoxide poisoning, respiratory arrest, and cardiac arrest. It's used in a million different things medically. And, you know, if as long as you're not sitting on the tank and breathing, you're not going to get oxygen toxicity.
Yeah.
And you can get all these supplies without a medical license, and you don't have to do all that. The tricky thing is just getting it filled. But once you fill that tank.
Yeah, you're good to go.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd mention that getting your oxygen can be a little tricky. But if you get all the supplies, talk to your medical provider. You may even talk to your oxygen supply place, and you know, they could hook you up. Who knows? But
cool,
having that tank filled and having that supply, it'll be worth its weight in gold.
I love that.
So
love
the
that.
End.
Well done. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you hanging around with us. We appreciate you subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you go hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app or platform, because
please,
we really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Make sure you come see us on Instagram, Facebook, our Facebook group. Make sure you come see us on YouTube.
Yeah.
We will be releasing something special here very soon on YouTube, so be watching for
super
that.
Special.
Anything else, Cameron?
It's the pointing video.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the pointing video.
No, just go do what Kobe said. Because if you're not, you're dumb.
Anyways,
use this month. Get it all ready.
Yeah, get ready, guys.
Put all this stuff into action.
Yes, it's all simple stuff, but it's all very important. Very important.
Because who knows? Trump might get a nuclear button around his neck that he can push at any point.
Like a neck knife, but it's a nuclear knife.
It's like the first, what is that, medical alert?
Yeah, the medical alert.
What did Russia say?
Yeah. What, Putin? He looked at me weird.
It doesn't matter if I die, it's all going to launch anyway.
It's all going to launch anyway.
All right.
I guess thank you, and stay survived.